Evening.
Hey, James.
It looks like daytime, though.
It is. So hang on a minute. That is the pub I'm in at the moment. There we are.
The Diva Tap.
So this is my city. This is where I live.
Okay.
Nice. It's not raining.
No, it's lovely at the moment, actually. Lovely.
It's the north of England and it's not raining. What's wrong?
No. I am probably a four. I'm gonna give myself a four. I'm not going to be on long because I've got some food coming in a minute. So,
Jeff's late, so...
Oh, surprise. So hang on a minute. You are Mr. Crisis at the moment. So where's Wes, who was whinging about being here at a specific time?
He's right there.
Shut the fuck up, James.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
All right, what's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. We are back, our second show within a week, even though it's still the off season. I don't know exactly how much Saints talk we're going to get into today, since we did talk a lot last week, but there are some other things out there, some TV shows, some movies, and just kind of miscellaneous things, pretty crazy happenings going on in the pro golf world right now. So we're just going to kind of talk a little bit of everything here. We'll start off with Saints and then just kind of migrate to wherever the conversation is. But I do not have a number. It is 1 o'clock here in the daytime, and I'm in between work, so can't quite be drinking. I also did have a drink or two last night. Put out another.
We know you don't have a number because you're on here, not on Twitter.
I did put out another 10 random thoughts last night, and I think I'm gonna make it a fairly regular thing, not more than once a week, but only when I'm above a five. So I think it's just something I'm gonna do going forward. So be on the lookout for that. Yeah, no number right now. So put your seats tucked in and ride the roller coaster. Let's welcome our crew tonight. We'll start off with Ben. Ben, across the pond, looks like you're going to have a number.
Yep, I said about a three at the moment, sitting on a gin and tonic, London Sixsmith, to be precise. But yeah, no, it's the weekend after what was a very long weekend last one, but it's all good. Looking forward to chatting to you guys again.
Yeah, I know. It's feel like it's been a while. We still need to do a Pelican Plunge, but I guess we'll wait for the draft in a couple weeks.
That's right. We'll be in the finals next year, so we need to know.
Right, yeah. Right, that's it. Scott is here. Do you have a number?
I do not have a number because it is also 1 o'clock. So, nope. Good to be back in the DPU. It has been a while for me as well. So, good to be here.
I mean, even though it's 1 o'clock, if you're working, that's one thing. But if it's just 1 o'clock, that doesn't really stop you.
Technically working.
Okay. Technically. And Wesley is here. He is going to pop in real quick before he's got to get out to the softball field. So I'm guessing you don't have a number either.
Yeah, daughter's got the softball tournament starting today. So no number. I got a concert tomorrow, so have one tomorrow night. So maybe I'll get on Twitter.
You didn't want to be one of those angry drunk parents at softball games?
I can get angry without that. It's fine. I think you should call your Twitter rampage the 10 at 7 or something like that. So you make sure you have a number higher than a 7 before you post it, and it'll be your 10 at 7 or something. We can come up with some sort of term.
It's got to be donkey related.
Right. It's almost kind of like donkey thoughts with Jack Handy, you know, deep thoughts with crime donkey or something like that.
Donkey. Well, I'd say donkey bite.
Get donkey thoughts and then get someone to sponsor it. That's what you need.
You want to start it and say, "Welcome to the Donkey Show."
That's what you call it, the Donkey Show. You should call it
when you're hosting. Is it called the Donkey Show, Jason? Is that what we're at? Are we at the Donkey? Ben, do y'all have donkey shows in England? Y'all aren't that close to Mexico, but Spain's over there.
No.
No. Okay.
He doesn't know what you're talking about.
We'll talk about it.
Oh, don't worry. We'll
talk about it off air.
We can bring the Donkey Show with us when we come over there. Introduce the UK to the Donkey Show. All right, so I guess we'll get started off with Saint. Are they still in mini camp or the voluntary OTAs?
Yeah, it's mini camp was today, and then also next week is the public mini camp where I think all 3 days actually fans can even attend.
Oh, they could go hang out in the heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Thursday, I believe.
There were so many years that I really wanted to go to mini camp to get Breeze to sign something, and I just never did it. Never did it. Although at least now they have like covered tents or at least covers for the bleachers, whereas before it was just you're out in the sun. It's like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, we've got 103 here tomorrow and Sunday for softball tournaments.
That much. Terrible.
It's yay, summer. It's been interesting that the few weeks of mini camp and OTAs that we've had, you know, typically, you know, maybe I forget this every year, but typically it seems like news kind of bumps around like this person made a play this day. So everybody gets excited. And then the next day, so it's been pretty consistent for the three weeks, whatever it is that we're hearing the same couple of names over and over again. Obviously some are some veteran people, which is good, but there's a couple of UDFA rookie kind of things that are, we're hearing the same couple of names every day, which I'll still stick with Kroll was my camp beast prediction, and he's been mentioned just about every day as far as making some sort of play or looking like a professional football player.
And that's a position of need.
I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean it's fun because as Saints fans, we always get over excited about who's the undrafted guy who's coming on and who's going to make the team, because the Saints do have a history of finding some of these guys.
Well, it's actually Brandon Coleman.
If you think about like Troutman, Vinette, Hill, and there's a couple other like tight ends, we're really deep with very average tight ends.
Mediocre. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, like we don't have, I mean, I won't say any of them are just terrible. Like why the hell is this guy even in the league? But none of them are good either. Mm-hmm. So we're super deep at really average, mediocre tight ends. So, anybody can win a job as a tight end for the Saints by, I mean, just being consistent for a summer. And maybe it's Kroll.
And, I mean, considering Hill may not even be ready.
Yeah, I don't think there's very good chance that he's starting at training camp. I mean, and I think that even if he was sort of ready, I think they would probably leave him on. The Liz Frank injury is a really weird injury that you never know when you're really recovered from. Some people it's very fast, some people it's pretty slow. So
do you think they would
use got a massive contract?
Do you think they would use Taysom at running back any if Kamara's out for a long period of time?
I think the fumbling issues would be way too big of a risk to give him the ball more like that. One thing have you space.
I don't think Kamara will be suspended this year. That's my prediction.
Sounds like his lawyers are, that's kind of the game plan, is to get it through this season.
Now, I mean, I know I was intrigued at the running back out of Baylor. I mean, has there been anything about him?
No, because I mean, we're not, there won't be right now because we're not actually like,
I know it's full not pads. Like, yeah.
I mean, every running back looks the exact same until there's actually any kind of tackling and all. So, I figure we're not going to hear anything about him until training camp. I mean, we hear that he's big and fast, and like he added like 20 pounds to be a linebacker. And then when he went back to running back, he only lost like 7 or 8 of it. He decided he wanted to keep that size. And I mean, he's the one that's going to impress. Like when you got to see, can he hold onto the ball when getting tackled, and can he break tackles and make people miss? Which
That's something we need. We need someone like that down at the goal line, really, don't we? Sure, yeah, third down. That is something that Latavius Murray was fantastic at for us when we had him. And I don't think Mark Ingram can do that job anymore. I love Mark Ingram's a bit, absolute Saints legend for me. And unfortunately, I think this could be a good opportunity.
So I did see that Alan mentioned pretty much everybody's going to be here next week, although he did say Thomas isn't still quite ready yet. And I know we kind of talked about it last week, but it still seems, I mean, I guess, look, as long as he's healthy by training camp, great. But I mean, it's just odd that it's taken this long for him to get quote unquote healthy. Like I saw the video of him running, so he's getting there, but man, well, it's just weird.
To be fair, I believe his last real surgery was in December. And I think that they, when they did the, it was either late November, early December. And I think once he had that, I believe the plan is to just have him somewhere in training camp. And I'd actually heard Ross Jackson made a point that made sense to me. I guess he was talking about when he was on a podcast with Deuce Windham. He said that they think the goal would be to have him just ready by the Packers scrimmages that we're having, because we're doing a week of practice with the Packers. And kind of, if you're getting there, just somewhere in training camp is when he starts being healthy. I think they're going to slow roll it a little bit. They're not worried about him knowing the playbook or any of that kind of stuff. And him running as hard as he can in a straight line is a beautiful sight right now at all. So I thought it was funny that people are trying to watch the video and time his 40 based on what he was doing. It's like, come on, guys, y'all need
to
stop that. Like, this is like, be happy that the guy's running, and he's not running in California. He's in New Orleans running.
Yeah, honestly, some people just need to. Jason, I took your advice this off season, and I'm taking a full off season, and I'm enjoying it. I it sucks when I have to come on and talk about it, but it's people read too much into it. It's ridiculous
because they're people get desperate for it, and then I've started this a few years ago. It's like, by also constantly being so into it all the time, it just makes the off season longer. Wait between mini camp and training camp, that month long wait was just a brutal wait. And now it's just like, I don't think about it. And all of a sudden, oh shit, training camp's this week. And it's just helped me, and it's helped kind of shorten the off season for me. But again, it's like, and I know the NFL is a, 12 month sport, but I mean, I don't know. I'm okay with not thinking about the NFL for a few months.
I switch off at the draft, and I turn on again at the training camp.
But like the last couple of years, we haven't had OTAs and mini camps. So, I mean, our perception of this could be thrown off a little bit, because it's been 2 years since we've had any of this. So it's like, when we are hearing that people are actually at the facility, it's like, oh, okay, it's almost here. It's not. We get 12 or 13 weeks or whatever. Like, we got some a ways to go. And then we also know how it is. Like, we're going to get all excited when we're like, oh, the first preseason game. And then we're going to see, like, starters play 7.5 minutes.
If that
and Marquez Callaway look like he's an all-pro and get all excited again. I mean, and still, like, half the people playing in that game aren't going to be in the NFL.
As last year, he was going up against Griffin, Jags corner. I just had a multi-million pound dollar deal with Jacksonville. He was brilliant in Seattle. Look what Callaway's just done to him. It's like, oh, come on. And people just literally built him up on that one preseason game. Like, oh, we'll be fine with him. Why does he even want James Baker? Sorry.
So, yeah, I enjoy the breaks. I mean, it is nice, too, when you, there's OTAs. Okay, there's a little something going on, but I'm not, like, going overboard. I'm not. Again, because you're it's nice to see him out there and hopefully healthy. But other than that, with no pads, you can't really judge too much, really. And I'm just not going to get overexcited yet. I'm not going to allow myself to do that.
But I'm wondering how he's cutting. I'm sure that's got to put more stress on the ankle than running straight.
I don't believe he's cutting right now. He's running in straight lines is what they've kind of said.
Okay. So we got to get to that point, too, where he can do that.
Yeah, so. That's what receivers do.
They cut.
Jarvis Landry's cutting enough for everybody. So.
Yeah.
He looks like a prime, like 3 years into the league, Jarvis Landry, the way he's moving around.
And it's about time.
I was thinking about this. The guy's coming back to play in New Orleans since, obviously, the first time they've been out since, like, college times. Like, is it going to go two ways? They're going to be so motivated to do well, or they're just going to feel home comforts and the age they are winding down in their careers. I'm really hoping it's the first option, and I think it will be. But I've just got that little thing in the back of my head there where I'm just going, maybe. But
I actually think it's the first reason for a different option. Jarvis Landry doesn't think his career is over. Jarvis Landry thinks that a year from now, he's signing a 4-year, $60 million deal with somebody.
Yeah.
Like, Jarvis Landry's not doing this for nostalgia or for even for a championship. Like, Jarvis Landry, like, all that stuff is extra, and like the fans are gonna like that. Oh, he cares about New Orleans, and this was the team, his favorite team growing up. Jarvis Landry's here to earn another $50 or $60 million in his career, and he's hoping that he can get a large chunk of that guaranteed after leading the Saints in receiving. And I mean, Jarvis Landry's not coming here to play second fiddle to Michael Thomas either. And I mean, he knows this is Michael Thomas's team, but Jarvis Landry said, I have a lot of respect for Mike. That's my brother, but we're out there like fighting for the same ball. Like, I mean, he's coming here to be a massively successful receiver and get a contract.
Especially after watching all these receiver contracts that have been going out the last season or two.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Michael Thomas is like a bargain now, even though he's injured.
Right. A healthy Michael Thomas.
No, Michael Thomas's deal is, I mean, if he can get back to healthy the next 3 years, is a incredible deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
remember the time he signed it, everyone was like, oh, that's so much money. That's so much money. It's just it. Just the cap just goes up every year, and people reset the cap.
Right. It always goes up. They keep making more money. Franchises are sold for $4.5 billion. I mean, so did you see what John Elway lost out on in that sale? Apparently he had a chance to buy a 20% stake of the Broncos for like, I don't know, $30 million a few years ago. And the sale that just went through would have gotten him $900 million.
Wow.
I mean, I know he's not hurting for money, but man, that's
$900 million's not
that's like multi-generational.
Yes. Right there.
I mean, and we're just talking about receivers real quick. So Hunter Renfrow this morning signed a 2-year, $32 million deal. I mean, $21 million's guaranteed, but I mean, it's just crazy to me. I mean, as much as it's crazy, Christian Kirk gets $21 million a year. I mean, Hunter Renfrow's getting $16 million a year.
Right. And I mean, and then look back to Jarvis Landry is getting three from us. Three.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, and you saw what Cooper Kupp did, so...
I caught this today with everyone talking about the Rams salary cap ish, like, and actually people are applauding him saying, oh, it's smart thinking. It's like, we've been doing this for fucking years. And as soon as the Rams do it, oh, it's the best thing ever. You know, the teams need to take advantage of this.
So I heard somebody give the answer to that, and I thought the same thing, but then when somebody gave me the answer to that, it made so much sense. It's because the Rams won the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah,
and the Saints have not won our Super Bowl since.
That's exactly why.
So
it's the Rams stole it from us.
I mean, the science makes sense if you come out with the result in the end, and it makes perfect sense because they look like geniuses now. I mean, and again, the goal is, I mean, we've been doing this for a long time. I think the biggest thing the Saints have done is kept it going for so long, because all of us since 2009 or 10 have been like, well, we've only got a couple more years, then we got to bite the bullet. And we still haven't. The joke, I mean, is whether or not the Rams, I mean, as much as we've gone all in with this, they've really done it. Are they competitive in 3 years? And I'm not sure if it's even repeating what we've done. Like, they've gone to a different level.
I mean, they traded away all their first round picks for like 4 or 5 years.
I mean, at least we've mostly kept that. And I mean, I really do think our goal with trading away first round picks this year is that we believe that one or two more are coming back from Peyton.
Mm-hmm. Has to.
Yeah.
Has to. I wonder if we've given our hand away a little bit there too early. Like, does teams know we're desperate to get those picks back next year?
I mean, I don't think it matters. A team's going to be desperate enough to want Peyton. I mean, that's the thing. They're going to want him regardless of what we do.
There will be multiple teams in on him. And Loomis has said publicly multiple times, even in the last month, that we will get proper compensation for him.
Good. That's the one thing we needed. But yeah.
Yeah. So do we have
anything else?
Right. Any other Saints items?
We're looking at a linebacker today, weren't we? There's a couple of linebackers that we're potentially
look
looking
like, at. Yeah, Schobert came in for
that's the one
to see it. And weren't we were linked? Was it him that we were linked to a couple years ago? Those two Browns linebackers, him and then the one that was kind of a defensive end linebacker that we got linked to that didn't sign with us. It seems like Schobert. I'm remembering. I think two things. One, any kind of depth is good. I mean, he's 28, I believe. But it shows two things to me. One, I think that the Quan Alexander thing is a last resort for us, and he would just be coming in for depth. And then this might be showing the end of the Zach Bond era in New Orleans.
Was there ever a Zach Bond era in New Orleans?
I mean, he was drafted, and there was a preseason, and then he had a single game last
year. He looked like an all-pro
in one game last year. But this might be the end of the Zach Braun experiment. And I'm wondering if, I mean,
unless he probably rated
a couple years ago, can you get a fifth or sixth back for him? I mean, somebody rather than just cutting him?
I don't know.
I think he'll be good playing the league. I just think he can fit our system. Like, I remember when we drafted him, there were people going, well, is this really wrong the fit. Right fit?
Everybody said the wrong fit. Yeah.
Does he just turn into a special teams guy?
But over 2 years, have we ruined that by mixing it up and he hasn't been doing those things that he would have been a good fit for 2 years ago? He hasn't practiced those now in a couple of years. So
yeah.
I mean, no matter what, he's gotten $1 million or more in, you know, for that experiment.
I don't feel too sorry for him.
No.
yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, you know, I guess not until we get, you know, mini camp next week.
We're hearing good things about Matthew. Obviously, coaching players up. We keep hearing more and more about him, and I guess he's been playing all over the field. And we're already kind of doing the no position thing. Apparently, we've had multiple sets we're doing with the dime set with six safeties and cornerbacks on the field, and just all of them moving around and being in weird spots, and him and May switching back and forth and all. It's pretty interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, I am very excited to see our secondary this year and what kind of wrinkles we're going to throw in, considering the various globs of talent we have and the interchangeable pieces.
One question I have, you guys, I mean, and maybe the team feels different about who they have in the room than what we do, but how would y'all feel about throwing a veteran minimum at Ndamukong Suh?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed. I mean,
I think him and Onyemata can both kind of either one play any either one of those interior defensive line positions. And I mean, what I wonder of that we don't know is the Saints, if healthy, have a ton of huge defensive ends. And I mean, the Saints clearly like these 6'6", 250-pound defensive ends. I wonder if some of those are going to end up playing interior, just kind of being big run stoppers and getting a rush from the middle rather than. I don't know. I worry about Shai Tuttle being our only quote unquote, you know, nose tackle. I mean, Onyemata does a great job for his being undersized as a nose tackle. But.
Got Roach as well, haven't we?
Yeah. There's. Yeah.
And no Roach clips? No Roach clips?
maybe we'll see. But yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'd throw something at Sue if he wants to come. I mean, he can still play. He can be part of the rotation. So I'll be all for it.
And after sitting 2 years of Tom Brady, surely he'd like to hit him. I saw that social media today. I just glanced. Saints were holding like some sort of kids like sports thing at their facility today, and they put the tackle dummy in Tampa Bay 12 jerseys.
Makes sense.
So yeah, I mean, so I guess that's it in terms of Saints talk.
Is this now the segment where West hates everything?
Let's talk about overrated TV shows.
Oh God!
There we go.
Wesley's gonna list every TV show ever made.
Right, every TV show that's come out that everybody loves.
The Offer about the making of The Godfather is a very good show.
The Offer is good. I've seen a few episodes, maybe four.
It's gotten
five.
Better and better. I kind of. Out of respect for The Godfather, like stayed through the first couple episodes and it's gotten better and better. I think there's 9 out now. There's one more episode coming out next.
I'll have to catch up. I'm still trying to catch up on The Boys. So it's going to be a little while.
So let's just go ahead and say that we have no control over anything we say. So spoilers about the TV shows, just in general, like we'll try to say the name of a TV show before you say a spoiler. And if you hear a name of something you're not caught up on, pause.
Are we gonna go TVs or movies first? Because that's movies.
I mean, either one. Aren't they kind of one and the same these days with like Obi-Wan and?
Yeah, you have to watch 7 TV shows to know what's happening in a movie these days. So I mean, it's just kind of.
That's how I feel about this latest Marvel series, Miss Marvel. Yeah. I feel I'm watching it. I don't like this. This is really not me. But I've got to watch it for I know because. They're going to be introducing later on down the MCU. I'm just like, I don't want to watch this.
There's going to be a reference in some movie that you're going to be like, I don't understand.
I mean, in fairness, you could just go to Wikipedia instead of watching it, and still understand.
Get it like a summary.
What's going on? If you don't want to do it.
I didn't think it was that bad, Ms. Marvel.
It was awful. It was awful.
It really wasn't awful.
I'm sorry. It's not designed for a bunch of 30 or 40 year old.
It's
guys.
Really not. But it's
I'm not 30 or 40. I'm not 30 or 40. Thank you very much.
It was
actually the youngest person of our group doesn't like Ms. Marvel.
Yeah,
I thought it was well done.
Younger than me.
Right. I thought it was fine, but I'm not expecting it
and stuff. Yeah. I thought that was pretty neat.
It was an interesting production design, and look, it's going to be fun. I'm going to watch it, but it's not like there are these massive stakes and it's like, oh, you know, it's like, it's a fun little show. I mean, you know,
this will be better than She-Hulk.
No, I think She-Hulk will be better.
I don't know. She-Hulk looks.
I think that'll be better. Really, I think that because that's got Bruce Banner to support it.
A Daredevil cameo, possibly.
Yeah.
Because it's lawyers.
This just got car crash written all over it.
Doesn't have car crash written.
It's not that bad.
It's awful. I can't stand it.
I don't think it's
bad. It's not that bad.
It's not.
It's a 45 minutes that I'm never going to get back in my life again.
Well, then don't watch it. Just watch, like I said, read Wikipedia when it's over and you'll find out what happens.
Now my hat feels to be like Wes.
All right.
Shall we stick to
Obi-Wan Kenobi talk?
I was going to say, shall we stick with Marvel first and then do Star Wars?
What other
what else
Marvel
do we,
was I mean, what else is
well, we had Marvel? Doctor Strange, didn't we? We haven't talked about Doctor Strange yet.
Oh, yeah, we really haven't. That's right.
So speaking of that, not a terrible movie. And I did not mind the WandaVision show. It was fine. Annoyed me that again that the entire like the movie would have made no sense if you didn't commit to, you know, whatever how many episodes of WandaVision. I think that's I get it that that's the way they're going to do it now. I absolutely can't stand it.
Well, it's I mean like I said earlier, the train has long left that station.
Yeah, the train has left the station on that one.
I mean, but at this point, you know what you're getting into. You know, you know something's going to have to lead up to it. I mean, if you think about it, before the pandemic. You know, I think this movie was supposed to come out pretty much right after WandaVision.
I get it if there's like an inside joke, like funny line.
But
that like
Wanda's the villain of the movie.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's fine if like there's some funny line that everybody else thinks is funny, but like I don't really get the one line joke because I didn't watch WandaVision. When the entire show, if the last thing you watch was Endgame and you turn around and watch WandaVision, the entire show makes no sense.
Well, in all seriousness, like how many are there really that many people that haven't watched a lot of this stuff by now and are just going in fresh?
Yeah, I think there's of the whatever $1 billion spent on going to watch Doctor Strange, a ton of people went and saw that didn't watch a single second of WandaVision.
I don't know about
that. It's their fault then. Because they've been a great series. I love WandaVision as a series.
So then when you are buying tickets on Fandango or whatever, does it need to have a thing that pops up and goes, hey, don't purchase these tickets if you didn't watch WandaVision 3 years ago?
Probably. Well, you know what? I really don't care because I watch everything. So I'm going to be caught up.
There you go.
I'm all in.
I'm going to talk about it, but spoilers alert. Here we go. But obviously, we know that Wanda's coming back, don't we?
Well, especially now that I don't think she killed her. When the rock's falling on, I don't think she's dead.
No, because Elizabeth Olsen's got like a multi-year deal with Marvel still, isn't she?
And I guess even at worst case scenario, you could just bring in a variant. I mean, the other Wanda had abilities. Now, she wasn't like super Scarlet Witch powers, but she did have abilities. I guess that's the one, you know, you could say it's an issue with the multiverse. Oh, we'll just bring in a variant from somewhere.
But like she murdered hundreds of people in this movie.
She sure did.
Or dozens at least. I mean, how is she just like, oh, okay, hey, I changed my mind. I don't want to kill y'all anymore. Like, okay, hey, back in the fold.
But I mean, maybe she's not, from WandaVision, she took over a whole town.
She didn't kill anybody, she killed.
If they do that, this is like the biggest plot hole back to whichever Star Wars it was where two people decided to go rogue and were the entire reason their entire army got murdered. By they decided to disobey rules and go on to whatever. It was the same movie where Leia was a space zombie. The two guys didn't, and their entire lot of hundreds of soldiers get killed and blown up.
Oh, yeah.
They're like,
oh,
okay, hey, you guys are back. We're glad you made it.
bombing run. I mean, I guess maybe this is why you would just, if this Scarlet Witch is dead, you bring in a variant because the variant technically didn't do that.
A variant that's a better mother.
But some people are switching off from Marvel now because of people are saying like, I've given it a go since Endgame. It's not going a direction. I can understand why people are now switching off after Endgame.
Yeah, I don't want to have to keep notes and refer to them.
It's hard to keep, as big as this franchise is, to keep it going. It's tough. It's not easy.
I guess I'm clearly wrong. My hope always was that we got to Endgame and we probably took a couple year break except for Spider-Man movies. And then we reset with, okay, here's the new Wolverine that's also mixing in with here's the new Iron Man and start building it all over again. And that's definitely not what they're doing.
Well, but they have been setting up replacement characters. If you think about it, I mean, there's a new Captain America now. There's you've introduced Moon Knight. You've introduced, I guess, U.S. Agent going into the Thunderbolts. I mean, they are introducing new characters. The new Black Widow. The new Hawkeye, you know, so they are kind of doing that. And you're just not going to see the giant crossover for a while. That's what they're going to kind of hold off on. But they're also going to need time to build a big villain to be worthy of to have a giant crossover movie.
Because you got Loki season 2 being filmed as we speak anyway. So that's where you're seeing your main villain develop, I think, in that series.
There's a real good possibility that we see over the next 5 or 6 years a reverse in Marvel is trying to keep it rolling and is going to end up making the mistakes that DC made by throwing too much out there too fast. And DC might be, I mean, they've actually got a good Batman character now. And if they can do a couple other things, like they might be able to correct what they've done in the past and build a true franchise.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And then we'll obviously have, we got Thor next month. So
excited about it.
Yeah.
That looks very good. Looks very, very good. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking forward to. But did we talk about Moon Knight? Did you do an episode talking about Moon Knight? I can't remember.
Not really. You know, it's funny. I actually watched the making of Moon Knight yesterday to kind of see the behind the scenes stuff. And yeah, look, it was.
I thought it was a good series.
And it's good. Plus, it's like there really was no connectivity to any other Marvel thing.
So, I think that's why quite a lot of people liked it.
Mm-hmm. I thought the first two episodes were really good. And then all of a sudden they decided to not have Moon Knight in the series anymore, which was an interesting take.
It was a bit low in the middle, I thought. But then I thought the last two episodes were fantastic again.
Yeah. Yeah, there was that. I know I could have used a little more Moon Knight.
Yeah, he just wasn't in a couple episodes at all.
I mean, even if they show just more of the Mr. Knight, you know, I just want to see the guy in the suit do something.
But the end credit scene, like if people switched off before watching that end credit scene, then the whole series is completely different now. Like you need to watch that. Like I don't think Marvel should have put that as an end credit scene.
No, I wish they'd have left it as an actual like a scene.
Because the third personality coming into it is huge.
And well, and you did kind of get hints of it. I mean, there was one scene where like neither Steven nor Mark knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So you kind of knew it's like, okay, well, it looks like there might be another one.
Then you have the third sarcophagus as well, where it's like, what's in that? And you don't want to know. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there were hints to it, but no, overall, great series. I think a lot of people like it because it wasn't connected to any of the other Marvels. And is that being done again? Is that series two being done?
I don't know.
I don't think they've announced anything yet.
I mean, I'm sure he'll show up somewhere else, whether it's his series or something else. I mean, you don't introduce a new character and just have him be a one-off.
Yeah, Avengers 12.
Yeah, the battle across time.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But no, so. That was good. And as I said, Miss Marvel, we've kind of come to, there's only one episode in, and we kind of discussed that already.
Yeah. So, but yeah, look, you may not like it. I enjoy it for what it is. It's a fun little show. I'm just going to watch it. I mean, it's almost not even a superhero show, even though we know there will be some powers in there, but it's
good. I think it ticks a lot of boxes. Disney are trying to tick a lot of boxes with it.
I mean, sure. Well, I mean, look, we've had a lot of white superheroes. I mean, we have plenty
of. Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I like they're trying to get to a new demographic age wise as well. Like they're trying to tick a lot of boxes in.
Yeah, and I guess there's nothing really wrong with for teenagers.
Not at all.
So,
and but I've grown out of that. Like I that's why I'm finding a bit mature to watch.
But wait, we love animation. How can you grow out of it?
Oh, God. Yeah, here we go. I'm not one of them ahead now.
Right, right. but one last thing on Ms. Marvel. It's a show that Renee will watch with me because she doesn't like a lot of like scary or crazy action sequences. So she didn't really watch Moon Knight with me. I mean, she watched it somewhat, but not really. But at least Ms. Marvel, she'll be able to watch that with me.
Yeah. So are we getting off the Marvel train and going on to Star Wars now? The Star Wars haters are all gone.
Right, they're all gone. Conveniently. Right.
The bashing of Star Wars, and they hate Disney Star Wars.
Right. Right. Well, of course, they're like, well, why is it all TV now? Well, I mean, TV allows you to explore things. It allows you to have
people aren't going to cinema anymore.
Well, we are for the right thing, but I mean, Disney's hasn't really done well with Star Wars in the theater. I mean, they rushed it. Yeah, they really fucked up that sequel trilogy. I mean, I think that's the problem. Once The Force Awakens made as much money as it did, they're like, holy shit. And
yeah, of course, because it's Star Wars. It's going to make that much money.
Yeah, but I mean, you also had the original characters returning too.
Yeah, the only one they got completely right as a movie was Rogue One.
Rogue One, yeah.
And I quite like Han Solo. I quite enjoyed Han Solo.
I thought it was fun. It didn't deserve the backlash that it got. There was so much negative press about it before it even came out. It really didn't have a chance to succeed.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's because the other ones were being poorly reviewed.
Yeah, no, Rogue One was great.
And I think you see the time that Rogue One set in is where people are getting the most joy.
Well, of course.
There's so much to explore.
You know, there's so much to explore. There's a lot more history. There's a lot more... Yeah, I mean, it's basically the time now with Obi-Wan. I mean, it's a little before that, but it's, you know, the time of the Empire and, you know, all the stormtroopers going around. And so it's great. We only have two more episodes of Obi-Wan.
That's the thing that's annoyed me a little bit. Like, they've made this Obi-Wan, I feel like they've made it into a long film where if it needs to be a TV series, it needs to be 10 at a minimum.
Because that's something, you know, they've had a lot of these series. I mean, even like Moon Knight, and I don't know how long this Marvel is, but a lot of these are only 6 episodes, and I feel like they need to at least be 8. Now, I don't want like this 13 episode season that has to get stretched out and you have filler, but I do feel like six episodes is not enough.
It's not enough. You could go so much more. I've been saying to you in texting privately, like, they could be going so much more into Vader story a little bit. I don't know if Disney are planning to do a Vader series that maybe might do that.
I kind of think they're gonna do a Vader series. I mean, I know there's been like Vader comics that have really explored his rise to power and a lot of that stuff. So I gotta think they're gonna do a Vader series and kind of take stuff from that to it. I mean it's freaking Vader. I mean, it's like they'd be stupid not to do it.
The greatest villain in cinematic history. Mm-hmm. I know you hate everything.
No, this show's stupid though. They like, as much as I love Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Darth Vader is a great villain until he wasn't a villain anymore. And again, I told y'all this the other day. The great thing about Darth Vader is that he had a reason. He was thought out and all. And I get it that if we just wanted somebody that was crazy and murdering people, that's Jason Voorhees or Michael Myers with no reason for why they're doing it. Darth Vader's always had a reason, which is what made him scary, and he was thought out. He's just back to being a maniac now. And
you don't think he has a reason for going after Obi-Wan? I mean, Obi-Wan made him a half machine.
No, going after Obi-Wan makes sense, but it's just the random, like, killing people in the town and stuff like that is not the way he would normally have
been. He's trying to draw Obi-Wan out.
Right.
You just referenced Jason.
If you listen to what the Grand Inquisitor says at the beginning, he says, being a Jedi is like an itch, like you want to go and help. So that's what you're doing. You're killing people, trying to draw Obi-Wan out.
But let's go with your story. So I agree that Vader's a great villain. If he's the greatest villain of all time, he does not need to be on Disney Plus being streamed 6 or 8 episodes or whatever. And then just randomly like fighting some guy in a desert and then losing because somebody, a robot, started a fire. Like, like seriously, like this should have been more well thought. And I'm good. Again, I like your reference that you said about when Vader came in and went crazy in Rogue One. It was awesome. They saved it and teased it and waited till the final show and the end of the movie and did it. And they did it in the right way. And there's a couple things about this show that are bothering me. One, there's so many stories, Jason, that you talked about that are interesting stories. I think that they made a mistake not doing the Obi-Wan versus whenever him and Darth Maul refought again later. I guess there's some story where Darth Maul gets glued.
But that hasn't happened. It happens closer to the to A New Hope.
But and I'm good with that. But here's what the problem is with this show to me. One is we know where it started because the end of episode 3, and we know where it's going, the start of episode 4. There are no stakes whatsoever. They tease us every episode that Leia or Obi-Wan's going to die. They're not going to die. They're in A New Hope. They're fine. They're also going to wrap it up sometime in the next 2 episodes about how all of a sudden she forgets that they did this adventure.
They said they're going to address it. They said they're going to address it.
I mean, again, they have to, but they shouldn't have given us something weird to think about for 4 episodes. They shouldn't have put us in a position where they have to address it, because it's distracting. That it's a famous speech that she gives about, hey, you fought with my father in the Clone Wars. Well, now we've got 4 episodes of being annoyed that, okay, she's 9 years from now, she doesn't know him. So I get it. No, they're going to have some twists. But then
also the scene in New Hope where it seems like Leia has met Vader before. When she's captured on the Death Star, it seems like when they talk, they seem like they've met before. And I'm wondering if you're going to get that in the series.
My other thing, you know, just this latest episode, I was really annoyed with them sitting there and going, hey, there's this impenetrable fortress that we have no way to get into. And so nobody will even try. And then them going, well, let's think about it for 42 seconds. Oh, hey, you know what? Maybe my ID card still works. And then like, we'll just rest all of our hopes. I thought that was kind of, they could have come up with something better. And, you know, 12 years after Ocean's 11 came out, they couldn't come up with something better for Star Wars.
I kind of like it was that part was a good throwback to the Jedi Fallen Order game. You guys probably haven't played the video Star Wars video games like that. But like, that was literally a whole sort of mission on there. In that fortress, getting in, the whole smashing of the window. Yeah. That was all in that. It was all in that video game.
Oh.
But it wasn't everyone doing it.
Ever in any of these the comics or other cartoons or whatever, where if everybody on the entire, every evil person in the world is searching for Jedis to kill them, that Jedis wore things any other outfit besides the one outfit that all Jedi's wear? like is there in any of these where somebody was like, hey, you know what, I'm not gonna wear this brown outfit?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm ever trying to think. Or do they always just,
I'm trying to think. Nope. No, there are some disguises. Like, was Kanan in a,
I'm trying to think Jedi? If they were searched, but I mean, he wasn't he didn't have a Jedi robe because he wasn't really technically a Jedi anymore, and he had his own outfit, but I don't think he wore let's do the robe and the hood, you know, the cloak and the hood over your head.
Have we ever had Vader forgive somebody for making a mistake before? Where he like even listened to, hey, I'm fixing to kill you. Oh, you know what? Okay, cool.
Just this back at it.
Yeah, I mean, besides that, has he ever, the most murderous villain in the history of television?
I did hear a rumor that there's talks of a Reva spin-off show.
Who?
See, I don't see her surviving this.
She has to die. She's not in New Hope. She's not even referenced. She has to die.
Yeah, I mean, she's not in Rebels. Like, the fifth brother is in Rebels, so we know he can't.
Yeah, again, she's having not said that, I agree. I don't think she's gonna die, and I think that's gonna be a huge plot hole problem.
I mean, unless she dies in Obi-Wan season 2. You know? Yeah. Because you got to think they're going to do a season 2.
So are they going to do something? And I'm being serious here. Is he at some point going to get, what's it called? Force electrocuted or whatever? Where it makes his beard go white? Because
to look older.
We're 9 years away from him looking 35 years older.
He can't. You can't. I know. Yes, I know you what can't. You're
Again, you can't take two of the most popular movies in the history of television stick a show in the middle of them and be like, oh, okay, one plus one shouldn't equal two.
But in 9 years, I think Ewan McGregor is only going to be 3 years younger than Alec Guinness was. So
right. No, no, I'm just talking about the look.
So well, like the age is close, but in the Rebels scene with Maul, he already looks like Alec Guinness. He's got the white hair, the white beard. But okay. I mean, he's still got 9 years. I mean,
but I'm saying, like, seriously, are they
going to get 9 years?
I was being serious about, like, is he going to get electrocuted or something, like, to where so it does make him look a little more haggard or
he's
older.
Just going to, I don't know, maybe he'll
something, stress
he'll have more stress. Yeah, he'll have the more stress to deal with. More stress to deal with.
I'm looking forward to this series is going to go. And me and Jace, we've been texting, like, we rewatched a bit of Clone Wars the other day, and, like, I know you guys don't do animated series, but Jesus Christ, the last series of Clone Wars and what they've done with Rebels is some of the best Star Wars content out there.
Right, and I've just watched, like, over the last few weeks, I've just watched, like, pretty much the cliff notes that I sent in the group are pretty much just watched.
The thing is, and again, I'm revisionist history here, of I grew up with saying Star Wars is some of the best content that there's ever been. And that's because the first three things they ever put out were amazing. Well, since then, they're not batting 500. Outside of the first three, again, there's things that go back and for nostalgia purposes are really good. But the last 20 years of Star Wars is questionable of whether or not it's even an above average show. If you take out how much love I have because of the first three.
I've got a newfound love for the prequels.
When I can sit there and say that Solo is probably the third best Star Wars movie of the last 25 years, I like Solo. I'm not knocking on Solo, but everybody else seems to not like Solo so much. But
we were just Rogue saying this before you went away.
Rogue One is incredible. I think it's just an amazing movie. And I really liked Solo. I have no idea why people hate it so much. Besides, just the guy wasn't Han Solo.
Well, you had this preconceived notion of, oh, it's a bad movie going into it, so people just I thought the movie was fine. Yeah.
But outside of those two, there's been like one good Star Wars movie of the last six or seven.
Revenge of the Sith was superb.
And it seems like it was good, and then they really like just. Oh well, I don't know.
But at the moment, Mandalorian's a fantastic show. Like, that is a brilliant show. It saved Boba Fett series.
It saved
the Boba Fett series.
It did, yeah.
And then what else we got planned? Andor looks an interesting
that,
show.
That actually, man, they again, and what I like about that is it's taking away, it's referencing stuff that we know, but not making
it a whole new story.
And again, I'm going to give a lot of credit to Better Call Saul. Has done such a good job of bringing us up to Breaking Bad. I mean, one of the best shows in the history of television, and it's getting close to putting it together for us about how one leads to the other. And for me, so far, again, we got two episodes, so I'm not just Obi-Wan has really struggled. And if I wasn't watching the two of those like combat each other like a month apart, because I just watched the half season of Better Call Saul, and they're just doing a phenomenal job at walking us up to it, where Obi-Wan just leaving me more questions. And maybe that's on me that I can't just like, okay, forget that and enjoy this show by itself. I like for things to make sense, being a classic
Star Wars fan, you just
I'm trying to pick it apart.
Yeah,
so. I'm logical to a fault, so I want to like see it add up. And so again, they got two more episodes, maybe they do a fantastic job, and I was like, man, don't know why I question it. They've now use the, you know, Will Smith showed up and flashy thing Leia, and she doesn't remember Obi-Wan, and she just has a random sort of remembrance of Vader in the back of her mind, and then it all makes sense.
But like Ben was saying earlier, you know, after watching a lot of different arcs of the Clone Wars and getting to know the clones and having Anakin even more fleshed out, it does kind of change how some of the older stuff is now, and that's kind of why we keep saying all, you know, Clone Wars is so important with everything it did, in addition to just having really, really great episodes, but just everything they're able to flesh out for some of these characters that you just don't really care about. I mean, you know, Anakin's a whiny kid, why did he turn to Darth Vader so quickly? you know, it's tough to do it in two movies, whereas you have a series.
You can see it.
And you can see hints coming along of you know, the turn makes a lot more sense.
And when I first came across Clone Wars and I met Ahsoka for the first time, I was like, this is the most fucking stupid idea. What is this character? This is really putting me off. To now, after Rebels is finished, thinking she's the best Star Wars character, apart from Vader. Like, that is the genius of Dave Filoni. And what he's done.
I guess that's the thing, too. You know, yeah, the movies have kind of struggled, but now on the TV side, you've actually got the creator who you can trust to do this correct in Dave Filoni.
What have y'all thought about? So what I have heard is that originally this Obi-Wan Kenobi stuff was going to be
Obi-Wan
and Luke Skywalker. As Luke as a kid, they were going to be having interaction. It was him on Tatooine, all that kind of stuff. And from what I heard, the success of Mandalorian had them call an emergency meeting and go, man, we've got Mandalorian where we've got a guardian protecting a young boy, and the young boy getting into trouble and being silly and acting like a kid, Grogu. So we that's been good. So we don't want to repeat that exact same story. We got to come up with a new story. So the story is to make the little knucklehead a girl. That's Leia, but it's the exact same thing.
Yeah,
that was a struggle for me. Like, they couldn't, again, all the time we have, there seemed like there was another, all these great stories that there's been cartoons about. I would have loved to have seen a live action Obi-Wan Kenobi show of those.
Oh, a live action Rebels would just be cool.
Tell me, like, are those impossible to make? I mean, nowadays with all these super green screens that Disney seems to be able to do anything, is there something I'm missing from Clone Wars and Rebels that they can't make a live action?
I think you're going to see some more live action Rebels content.
Characters, like, yeah. Well, it's not going to be Rebels, but you're going to see
characters.
Well, Sabine is a character from Rebels. She's going to be in the Ahsoka show for sure. And there's a rumor
Ezra
Bridger, and then
Thrawn.
Yeah, Grand Admiral Thrawn. So I think you're going to see these characters in the Ahsoka show going forward, and you're going to see Ezra. I just think you have to. So
I have to get off of here, but I love Star Wars. I don't want it to come across that way. But I also have a high kind of
you're a Star Wars fan.
Expectation I want
to. Yeah, you're
again. They set an impossible thing for anything they're going to make now is not going to be Empire Strikes Back ever.
There's Cowboys fans and then there's Star Wars fans, you know.
But before you go, like I said, the fact that Dave Filoni is running the stuff now, I think that's a guy you can put
good
faith in to deliver.
Disney's not going to fire him next.
Chapek, you never know. That dude's a fucking idiot.
Never know what the Bobs are going to do. They fire him.
Never know.
You wouldn't get rid of Dave Filoni. Then you kiss goodbye to your franchise. Yep.
That's true. Yep. Bye-bye, donkeys.
I'll see you guys later.
Okay, later.
But back onto the others, the stuff they've got coming out as well is going to be quite good. The Jedi Tales, they was going to be a bit more about Qui-Gon and Dooku, an animated series.
Yeah, they're back when Dooku is still a Jedi, so that looks interesting.
Yeah, and then you're going to have Bad Batch season 2. Like we've got Obi-Wan now, then we've got Andor, then straight after Andor we pretty much got
Bad Batch,
and then Jedi.
And then the Jedi, and then you're going to have Mandalorian at the beginning of 2023.
Yeah.
And then you'll have Ahsoka not far after that. It's a steady stream.
And Andor set for 2 series as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. They did already announce they're doing 2. It looks like more episode, like 12, maybe 12 episode seasons or something like that. Because I thought they signed off.
That's what a TV series needs. It doesn't need 6. Like, Obi-Wan, I feel like. I'll absolutely love it. I think it's what Wes said. Like, you just got to enjoy it for what it is. Like, yes, you know that Obi-Wan's going to survive. You know that Vader's going to survive. You know that Leia's going to survive. And that's the hard bit for the writers and the directors. How can you create that suspense when you know these characters are going to survive?
Hey there, Dome Patrol listeners. This is Jeff. I'm editing the show, and I realized that Jason and Ben went on a meandering conversation for the next 2 hours talking about various movies and TV shows and eventually the trip to London. So I'm going to save you all by closing out the show right now. That's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show that we record immediately after the games during the football season, the Dome Patrol Podcasts, the Pelican Plunge, and the Tiger's Den. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. Follow us on Facebook to watch live streams. If you want to participate in game day chat, DM us on Twitter to get an invitation to the Dome Patrol Discord server. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to domepatrolpodcast.com. Bye-bye, donkeys, and good night, Hoodat Nation.
I see a little silhouette of a green man.
Master Yoda, will you raise up my X-Wing?
Four strokes of lightning, very, very frightening me.
Free me.
Here's a chosen one from the prophecies, there in this life from this captivity.
Easy come, easy go, why don't let me go?
I will not let you go.
Let him go.
I
will not let you go.
Let him go.
Let me go.
Mamma mia, let me go.
Lord Palpatine as an apprentice put aside for me, for me, for me.
Matters, nothing really to me.